Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we are working on your financial freedom. Hey, I want to start the show first and foremost by thanking you now. We do it at the end of the show typically, but I want to thank you now for taking the time out of your day to listen, whether you're catching this live right now on air or maybe catching the podcast that we archive on our website, lifestylesunlimited.com. You can always catch the shows there, but I do want to thank you for spending the time. We all have limited time, and I know that your time is valuable. And often when we make choices like to listen to this program or to do something, whatever that is, go to the movies with your friend, spend $20 and 2 to 3 hours sitting in the dark, we're giving up something else. Now, you may be catching the podcast, doing something while you're driving or whatever, walking the dog. Plenty of people do that. I get that kind of multitasking. But commonly, in a lot of situations, we're giving something up. And that's what I want to talk about today is the idea of opportunity cost. What that is, right? How to measure that, perhaps. So we'll define that very upper level. And then I want to give you some examples just from our regular life where we commonly see people come up against this notion in a big way. Okay. In a very big way. We'll talk about, for example, the opportunity cost of going to college, or flip that on its head, the opportunity cost of not going, right? The wealth gap, for example. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the opportunity cost of paying down your mortgage, paying down the debt you have on your personal residence. Okay, we'll look at an article around that. And then I want to talk about the opportunity cost you incur when you put all of your money into a 401k as part of your employer's retirement plan, rather than, say, investing in real estate, investing in just one single family house, for example. And I've got a very concrete example that we will take a look at to help you with that. You'll be blown away. The way that a single family house measures against the S&P 500 average over the past 30 years is something else. So we'll get into those numbers there in the latter part of the show. And time permitting, we'll talk a little bit about some of the opportunity costs that we see as real estate investors within the real estate investing world. Okay, there are some things that I give up when I choose to go buy that house right there on that street in that city. What am I giving up? So it's a good question. So to start with, just the idea of opportunity cost. We all inherently know this, experience this. It's just a simple trade-off. You know, if I choose to get that expensive cup of coffee for $5 at a local corner store, what am I giving up? What could I otherwise be doing with that $5, essentially? And I want you to, if you have time, check this out online. I found, as part of my research, the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis has a very good blog around, the subtitle is Everyday Economics Explained. Okay, it's the Open Vault blog, and they dive in this particular article into opportunity cost. You know, as part of my college degree back in the day, I did take some economics class. I'd forgotten a lot of the information I came across again browsing through this blog. For example, the Phillips curve, very interesting stuff. But we're going to focus today on opportunity cost, and they define it here. It's the value of the next best alternative when you make a decision. It's what you're giving up. Right. In an example here, think about a strawberry smoothie. What do you think of it? What do economists think of it? They say, well, that depends on how good the kiwi flavor is instead. Right. That thing that you are giving up. And, you know, we speak a lot at Lifestyles Unlimited about abundance mentality. And that's our approach to real estate investing. The fact that, you know, that guy I know right there is about to buy that house. It takes it off the market. What am I going to do? I feel lost. The pie is always shrinking. That's a scarcity mindset. When we approach real estate investing, we approach it from an abundance mindset, building a team, helping others out, expanding that horizon. But there is scarcity out there. Time, like I opened the show with, you giving your time to me today, that is limited. You know, you may have a limited pool of funds to invest. So in a sense, that is scarce as well. And that's what drives opportunity cost, because you do have to choose. You can't do it all. I'm having to have that conversation with my four-year-old on a regular basis now. He wants to do everything. It just doesn't work. So our unlimited wants, in essence, as they see here, are confronted by a limited supply of goods, services, time, money, opportunity, etc. So you make a choice. And in order to value that other option that you're giving up, you know, put on that economist glasses, how much do I value this thing I'm doing? How much do I value that thing that I'm giving up? You know, what am I going to give up now in order to get this? And this is important. And what am I going to give up in the future in order to do this thing right now? That's a very important concept, because a lot of times when you approach a decision, you're going to look at what they call explicit alternatives. Those are the things that you see right now, the here and now. We'll get into that in concrete detail when we talk about the college example. But those explicit alternatives, they're a little bit harder, you know, hard assets, perhaps time bound now, compared to implicit alternatives, which are somewhere in the future, those downstream effects of that decision that I make. And again, from day to day, we're doing things all day long, and we're weighing options one against the other, that flooring versus that other flooring for my house, tile versus, you know, laminate or hardwood, whatever. But when we get to bigger picture items, it seems, and economists have found, that we don't spend as much time weighing those options. Opportunity costs, that notion of looking at that plan B, that second option, are neglected much, much more when we make higher priced purchases or higher priced decisions. Okay, and that ties into what I just told you about college, about paying down that mortgage debt. So let's transition, now that we've talked about opportunity cost, and let's start to talk about the cost of college. Now, we know all those explicit costs, tuition, that rent I'm paying, so to speak, to the college every semester to be able to sit in that class. Tuition, room and board, debt load. We're taking on a lot of debt in this country. Those first things I mentioned, those are the explicit costs. Implicit then are down the line, that student loan interest that I'm going to be paying ad infinitum, ad nauseum, ad, you know, so on and so forth. So when we come back, I want to look at another view of college and the opportunity costs thereof. So stay tuned.
Del Wamsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 and some a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, and on today's show, we are talking about opportunity costs. We'll talk about the opportunity cost of college, of paying off that mortgage on your personal house, of investing in a 401k rather than that other option, which is real estate. And that is what opportunity cost is defined as, essentially, in simple terms, that you've made a choice. And the next best thing that you could do with your money or time, whatever it is that you're investing there, that is the opportunity cost. If you have any questions today, by the way, let me give you the number. It's 855-497-4335. Again, 855-497-4335. 877-497-4335 on this topic or anything related to real estate, or send me an email. I do check those during the break and throughout the show. My email is askandy@luinc.com. So starting with the opportunity cost of college. Again, we said just ahead of the break that, you know, the explicit costs, right? There are explicit and implicit. Explicit tends to be those hard costs, those things that you're incurring now, and implicit is somewhere in the future. And those explicit costs, obviously, you know what the tuition is. You know what the room and board is. You understand that you're going to be taking out student loans to fund this excursion into college for 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, whatever that may be. And those implicit costs then are, among other things, we'll get to those other things, those are those future interest payments that you're going to now be paying on that debt. Granted, that's on hold for everybody right now as part of the pandemic, but those will be coming due soon, I suppose. So the opportunity cost of college, you know the costs. It's that time. It's that 4 years spent sitting at a desk or in a library or in a coffee shop. 4 years that you could be doing other things. 4 years where you didn't commit that money to that tuition, that room and board, etc. 4 years where you could be earning. 4 years where you could have opened and be running a business, maybe getting involved in a trade, maybe being an apprentice as a plumber or an electrician or something like that, maybe investing in real estate. And we have a lot of investors at Lifestyles Unlimited that skipped that step and went straight to investing and are doing very, very well. And in my view, too many people go to college that maybe shouldn't and get saddled with debt, and they're just not well served doing so. But that's for you to decide. And like we said a moment ago, the Federal Reserve of St. Louis in their blog article, Open Vault blog, touches on broad economic concepts at a layman level, I would say. You know, people don't consider, they don't look at the alternatives as closely when we get to these bigger ticket items like college. So why do people go to school? Well, among other things, they've heard that's the thing to do, right? We're ingrained with that concept of go to school, get good grades so you can get into a good school, get good grades so you can get that job, start paying into that 401k so that eventually maybe you can retire. But besides that, the other reason people go is because there are two things associated with getting a college degree. There is, and these would be the opportunity costs, possibly, of not going to college. There's a wealth premium and there is an income premium, right? You believe that you're going to accrue more wealth as a result of going to college. You believe that you will make a higher income as a result of going to college. And that's true. That is true. But here's the problem. It's declining. The wealth premium, and here I'm looking at an article. This is from CBS News, came out just a handful of days ago. Amy Pitchy's the author. The college wealth premium is shrinking for younger Americans. And again, the notion is that it's worth going to college. It's worth that cost, that trade-off of time. Again, here they're not talking at all about opportunity costs, but I want you to keep that in mind. But it's worth the implicit, or excuse me, the explicit cost, that hard cost, given a lifetime of higher earnings, right? That's what they're driving at. But economists have been studying this, and they're finding that the college wealth premium, or those assets that a college grad will own compared to those of a high school graduate, that's the premium in terms of wealth for the college grad over the high school grad, it's declining, it's vanishing, in their words, for younger Americans. So that incentive, in my mind, is disappearing as well. And I hope the broader populace understands that. I don't think they do. They get very concrete here. White, specifically white college graduates who were born in the 1930s and 1940s, as an example, they enjoyed wealth that was roughly triple, three times that of non-college grads. That was about 60, 70, 80 years ago, okay? For successive generations, that wealth advantage has been shrinking. Now, for white college grads that were born in the 1980s, or maybe members of the millennial generation, that wealth premium has decreased to 42%, meaning the premium on top of what a high school grad would have in terms of wealth is about 42% for that person that went to college, compared to that earlier generation where it was 300%. So clearly a decline. And here's a little more data for you. It's even worse here. They say for people of color with black college grads born in the 1980s, there is no wealth premium at all compared with their counterparts that don't have a college degree. So here we're focused on the wealth premium. They do mention as well that income premium, which again is the difference in earnings between a college grad and that person that just went to high school, did not get that bachelor's degree. And they're just talking about bachelor's. They're not getting into grad, you know, upper level secondary education. But that too is showing signs of stagnation. So in this particular article, they are focused specifically on the wealth premium. Why? Because it is different from income because it provides a buffer. So William Emmons, he's also an economist with the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, as it were. And that wealth buffer or that wealth premium provides a buffer for shocks like we saw with the pandemic or maybe in 2008 with the housing crisis. And in effect, what we're seeing now with millennials with the get college degrees, they just don't have the same monetary resources to get through this type of shock that we're seeing with the pandemic compared to what their older, you know, counterparts would have had at the same age. You know, among other things, we see that credit card debt is skyrocketing for college grad for millennials. And Emmons with the Federal Reserve there in St. Louis, he goes on to say, and he I'm going to quote him here. He says, I think that it scares people, but people really need to understand that it is a, in his words, a high stakes decision going to college. High stakes decision, which ties into our conversation today of opportunity cost. What is that explicit cost now and over the next 4 years? And what is the implicit cost in terms of ongoing interest? And what are you giving up over that 4 years? You're giving up quite a lot. And I would tell you this, if I tie this into real estate, I am a single family investor. Picking up one single solitary single family rental house addresses both the declining wealth premium as well as the declining income premium. You now own an asset that is both growing in value, creating that wealth, and creating cash flow every month. So give that some thought. For me, you know, I'm beyond this. I've already gone through the ringer, done the college thing, paid off the student loan debt. But if you know someone that's getting ready, maybe approaching that, maybe thinking about that, sit down and have a talk with them. What is the true opportunity cost? Is this the best way to go? I'm not so sure that it is for a lot of people that do, in fact, make that choice. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about the opportunity cost of paying off your mortgage early. And then we're going to jump over to the opportunity cost of not investing in real estate, of instead putting that money into a 401k. So stay tuned.
And now a word on retirement from Del Wamsley.
The average person thought they'd retire at 59 and a half, 60. Then they said 64. Then it was 65. Then it was 66. Then all of a sudden they jump right to 70. 70 is the new 59. 70 is the new 64. Then it was, you know, hey, most people are going to work all the way into their 80s.
Do you really want to work in your 80s? Or would you like to retire in 5 years or less? Find out how on Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and on today's show, we're talking about opportunity cost. What is the opportunity cost of going to college, of not going to college? What is the opportunity cost of paying off your mortgage early? We're about to talk about that. We talked about college just a moment ago. If you missed that or any part of the show, you can catch us at lifestylesunlimited.com. Click on the radio tab, find the podcast there. We archive the shows out there for you to listen to at your leisure because, hey, your time is valuable too. You may have something to do right now. Opportunity cost to listen to the show is giving up that thing, whatever it is. So, hey, go get it done. Tune in later. And what is an opportunity cost? Well, it's the next best thing. You've made a choice. You've chosen option A. The next best thing that you could do with the money or time or whatever it is that you committed to option A, what would that have been reflected in if you had gone with option B? How might you have saved some time, some money, made more time or money, for example? Trade-offs to everything in life, right? We looked at college. We're going to look at that mortgage now. And I've got an article here as well. This was in Bloomberg. This is an opinion piece by Farnoosh Torabi. She's just taking a look at the concept. The title is The Opportunity Costs of Paying Off Your Mortgage Early. A lot of people think it's a great idea. In fact, she cites a 2018 survey in here, and half of respondents were, in fact, targeting to pay off their mortgage ahead of schedule, led by my demographic, the 40-somethings. Well, you know what? If you're in your 40-somethings, you're still working. This is typically where you're at your highest, you know, your peak earnings, maybe into your 50s. Maybe you've got something better you can do with that money than throwing it into the black hole of your house. And that's what she addresses here. And she gives us four ideas. I'm going to hit each of those very briefly and then give you another one. Number one, she says, bulk up rainy day savings. Hey, emergency fund, I cannot disagree with that in the least. Throw some money into that bank. Keep it liquid. Be ready. Pandemic, coronavirus, eviction moratorium, housing bust, whatever it may be, you may need those funds for an emergency. Or maybe, hey, you see a good deal down the road on a single family house. You know, may you want some liquidity to pick that thing up. But bulk up that emergency fund, essentially. Great idea. Number two, she says, increase your retirement contributions. 401k, right? Here I take issue. Here I disagree. We're going to examine this more closely here after this piece on paying down that mortgage early, but her suggestion is to put that into the market. She says that the S&P 500, if you do any research, you'll see a similar number. S&P 500 has returned an average 8% annually over the last 30 years. That's an average. It goes up some, it goes down some, it goes into negative territory sometimes too, doesn't it? We've all felt that pain. But on average, 8%. We're going to run with that number in just a minute when I take a look at the S&P 500 over 5 years compared to a single family house. Just one. Okay, so that's an option, she says, rather than paying down that house. Number three, she says, contribute to a college savings plan. Well, we just talked at length about college. Is that even the right thing for so many people that do go to college, incur a tremendous amount of debt, waste 4 years or longer, and a lot of cash, to find out it really was not a good idea? So I'm going to disagree with that as well. If you think you have a child that may want to go to college one day, buy that house. Sit on that house. Let it appreciate. Accrue that cash flow. Set it aside. Better option. And finally, number four, she says, you know, rather than throwing all that money into that house, into that black hole, consider doing a refinance first. So she still wants you to pay it down. But hey, given that interest rates are as low as they are, she's talking about doing a rate and term refinance, basically doing a reset, especially if your mortgage interest rate is at a higher level. We are at phenomenal lows right now. It is a good time to do a refinance. But I would say here, not a rate and term, but rather do a cash out refinance. We're looking at doing that right now, doing some fixing up on our personal house so we can pull some cash out of it because it has appreciated so much in the past few years here in Texas. Do that cash out refinance. In fact, right now we have our 2-day financial freedom program seminar going on. It's taught by a fellow named David Fisher. You've probably heard him on the show before. He's hosted in the past. And in fact, today's his birthday. Happy birthday, David, giving him of himself on a Sunday, teaching multifamily investing on his birthday for 8 hours. So a great guy, good way to go. But he did the same thing. He had that paid off house. And he'll tell you the story. If you come to any of our case studies, he'll tell you the story. He had the paid off house, not much else in terms of assets, had lost a ton of money when the market tanked, and entered the Lifestyles Unlimited program and quickly learned, understood the error of his ways, did that cash out refinance, got that single family house, phenomenal numbers. Got into a multifamily deal immediately as well, independent rental owner type deal. And he's just been on fire since then. Great guy to be teaching that very class. Again, on his birthday, no less, but a great guy to learn from as well. And you can learn more about our financial freedom program if you go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Click around there. There's a member services number you can call as well. That is 866-945-6565. But you can learn more about that. I'll tell you about our free workshop here in just a little bit as well. But that's a good way to go. Pull that money out. That's dead equity. As you get more and more equity in your house, your personal residence, as you pay it down, consider pulling that out in order to get into what, not that 401k like our editor or our opinion piece here said, but into real estate. And here's why. Let's take a look at the S&P 500. Let's take her number. Let me pull my little sheet of paper here. We're going to get into some numbers, so keep your ears at attention. And if you miss anything, like I said, you can go to the website to catch the podcast. What you have to understand, when you're parking money, plopping money, feeding that 401k account, and remember, employees can do as much as $19,500 right now in 2021. Double that for a high earner family. You got almost $40K that the two of you are putting in. I don't know that many people do that much. That's a lot of cash. A lot of people do. A lot of people have that aspiration. Money goes in and it sits, right? And what do? They make money two ways. Either they're earning some, you know, minor cash flow that stays in that account. Can't cash that out. So I use the term cash flow loosely, but they're earning a little bit of cash flow in terms of dividend distributions from those assets, from that 401k, from that portfolio. Number one. Number two, they're waiting for those gains, for that appreciation rather. So add those up, and that's where we're getting to that average 8% in the S&P 500 over the past 5 years from those two sources. Compare that to what we do just with single family houses or to real estate in general, right? What is the opportunity cost here of not investing in real estate, of putting that money into that 401k? And again, opportunity cost is the next best thing that you could have done with that money and time. I'm going to tell you, it's not the next best thing. It's far superior. And you'll see that with these numbers here. But let's look at this. We're making money multiple ways, far more than two. Cash flow, obviously. We don't invest in a rental house or multifamily if we're not collecting that cash flow every month. It's tax-free when you do it right. And unlike that 401k, we have it immediately available to then use further in investments to live off of if we need to retire ourselves or whatever you have planned. Number one, cash flow. Number two, equity capture. We're buying right. We're buying at a discount. And because we are buying distressed assets from distressed sellers, we are getting a good deal, fixing that thing up and creating equity from the get-go. Equity capture. Put a mortgage on that place. We're not trying to pay it down like our author in that opinion piece was suggesting on a personal house. For goodness sake, don't do that on a rental property. Put some leverage on that thing. And over time, every time you collect your rent from your residence, you're paying your fixed cost. You're paying that mortgage, that principal and interest, accruing for the property taxes, accruing for insurance. And every month that we pay that mortgage, we're paying down a little bit more of that principal. Every month, that payment actually gets a little bit higher. And over the year, well, we've had a fair amount of equity buildup just by virtue of paying down that mortgage. And of course, alongside that, what has our market been doing for the past 10 years? Appreciating like mad. It is crazy here in Texas. Texas is almost behaving like one of the coasts in terms of appreciation. Dallas, San Antonio, Houston, I don't care where you're sitting. We've been seeing a tremendous amount of that. Another way that we make money that is similar, right, to that 401k, or what we hope we see in that 401k. If you're talking about apartments, we've got forced appreciation, an additional lever that we don't actually even have in single family. And then finally, we mentioned the tax advantages. Yes, that 401k is tax advantaged at pay, and that may help you a little bit, but you're going to pay later. Pay me now, pay me later. With real estate investing, our cash flow can also be tax-free, right? And we can defer that capital gain thanks to something called a 1031 exchange. Do a search on our website for some shows on that topic or articles. And stay tuned. We're going to get into that analysis in just a moment.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the seven principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb. If you have any questions today, we're in our last segment. It's 855-497-4335, or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. And we're talking today about opportunity cost and the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis and their Open Vault blog. Good resource for anybody. Puts their economics into layman's terms. It defines opportunity cost as the value of the next best alternative when a decision is made, right? It's what you're giving up, essentially. So we've been talking through the program today about the opportunity cost of a couple of things. We talked about college, opportunity cost of going, opportunity cost of not going, right? We give up that wealth premium, perceived wealth premium, and possibly an income premium over those folks that maybe don't go to college, just graduate from high school. That premium is diminishing. It's diminished a lot over the past decade. So really get into this opportunity cost analysis if you've got somebody that's thinking about going to college. Maybe there are better options. Maybe that next best thing is the superior thing to do in the first place. So what could I be doing with my time, with my money instead? And there are explicit things that you're going to experience up front, maybe those hard costs of giving out that dollar, that time spent right now, and then those implicit things that are going to come down the line. We also just looked at the opportunity cost of paying down your house, aggressively throwing all your money at that house. You could do other things with that money in the meantime. Probably better things. Building up that emergency fund. Getting into real estate investing. And as part of that article, the writer suggested bulking up or contributing more to your retirement account. And we looked at how those two things compare at an upper level, the two ways that you're going to achieve wealth or grow that portfolio in that 401k compared to the five, even six ways that we do that with real estate investing. We talked about those. Those are concrete. Those occur in the future as well. And I would add to that list greater flexibility with a single family house or a portfolio thereof or multifamily. If I'm an IRO, I have greater flexibility. I can continue to hold that thing ad infinitum till I get ready to sell it or do something else and continue to collect that cash flow that we talked about, that equity buildup as the residents pay down my mortgage for me. Or I may decide to treat that thing as a big ATM, right? Pull out some cash, do that cash out refinance because we've seen so much appreciation in the past years, and that's going to continue. The inventory shortage will keep those prices up. And of course, maybe I just choose to sell it. Sell and reinvest by way of doing a tax-deferred exchange, 1031 exchange that's called, or just sell it, eat the taxes, and move on. Collect my winnings and go on my merry way. Greater flexibility there. With the 401k, you got to wait till you're retired or you incur penalties. And I want to compare now, in that article, the author mentioned that the S&P 500 over 30 years on average has achieved an 8% return. And I'm going to take a relatively small number, right? We saw that the employee in 2021 can put as much as $19,500 into a 401k. So if you're married, you're doing almost $40,000, a little bit high number. I want to run with $30,000. Okay, let's just say you're starting with $30,000. And this actually ties into an interview I did in, I don't know, mid-January with a young woman named Katie, who's also here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And guess what she did? She bought her very first house, single-family rental, in the middle of the pandemic. And she came in just a nudge under $30,000. Her target for cash out of pocket into that deal was $30,000. So this is a good number. Now, if I take a look at the S&P 500, if I put that $30,000 into an account, that's going to grow at 8%. That's the average over the past 30 years. From year zero to year one, I've gained $2,400. That's 8%. Keep going, right? Compound that, of course. At the end of 5 years, what have I gained? I've gained a little over $14,000. Compare that to the house that I have. And those gains are going to come both from the dividend payout that occurs as part of those assets that I hold in those mutual funds, right? As well as that, primarily from the market appreciation. Compare that to the single family house. And bear with me here. I do have some numbers for you. Let's say, again, $30,000 we're putting into that deal. And when it's fixed up, because we buy assets that need work, that's one of the ways that we capture equity. When it's fixed up, it's going to value at $150,000. That'll play into our appreciation number. But to start with, I just mentioned equity capture. We're buying at a discount. We're fixing that thing up and we're creating equity out the door. In this case, I'm just going to assume 50%. It's a fairly conservative number. I see members that are doing deals and immediately doubling their equity through equity capture. That's 100%. Even if you do 25%, you're adding, $7,500 to your bottom line. All realistic numbers. But if we just run with $50,000, that means I'm immediately adding to my bottom line $15,000, 50% of my cash into the deal. So my equity now is $45,000 in total, but compare that equity capture of $15,000 to what I did, that was in 2 months, by the way, to what I did in the S&P 500 over 5 years. Numbers about the same. You can't get rich slow. This helps me move a lot faster. Equity capture 50%, could be 100%, could be higher. Moving on, we make our money five ways. Cash flow. And I've used a very conservative number here. You know, typically we're seeing somewhere 8, 10, 15, 20%, even higher. Katie was making a 22% cash on cash return. I'm using 10% here. If I'm making a 10% cash on cash return, I put $30,000 in. That means I'm making $3,000 per year. Over 5 years, I'm accruing $15,000 just out of the cash flow. Again, that matches what I did in the S&P 500. I'm already double. I'm already double with my single family house. But there's more, right? Equity buildup. We talked about how the resident is paying down that mortgage for me. I've gone back and looked at my portfolio. We've got quite a few single family houses across the DFW Metroplex. And that equity buildup, measured against cash in the deal, tends to be anywhere from maybe 5% to 10%, usually on the higher end. So I'm running with 8% here. What is 8% of 30,000 again? 2,400. We made that our first year on the S&P 500. We're making that our first year on this house. And over time, that equity buildup occurs faster because the mortgage pay down, right? We're paying less in interest, more in principal. 2,400 per year times five, a little north of 12K over the period. And of course, appreciation. Now, we've seen a tremendous appreciation here. I see markets where I am in Dallas-Fort Worth that have gone up as much as 20% in 1 year. If I just assume a relatively benign, let's say 5%, that's anywhere from $9,000 per year just in appreciation. So I go from $150,000 in value to $157,000 to $165,000 and so on. And here's the beauty. If I hold that single family house for 5 years, think back, S&P 500, 8%, that's the average. We made about $14,000 over 5 years on this one single family house, $83,000 across those four buckets. That's a 278% return over 5 years on $30,000. So those are the kind of the hard numbers you think about when you think about any sort of investment into the future, right? They become more implicit costs. So you really have to sit down and analyze and think about those numbers. But again, immediate equity capture, 15K matches that S&P 500 portfolio. Cash flow, 15K matches. Equity buildup, 12K, very, very close. And almost a little over 40,000 in appreciation, totaling 80K and some change. Plus, we got those tax advantages on top, and we can always do that cash out refinance. I'm probably not going to sit on that thing for those 5 years. I'm going to pull some cash out and get into the next asset. Wash, rinse, and repeat. And of course, here we're talking about $30,000. If you got more, maybe you go straight into apartments, right? And that's the beauty of Lifestyles Unlimited. You sit down with a mentor, they help you understand your starting point. They sit with you to figure out your goals. Your goals are going to help you understand future, what I'll call opportunity costs within real estate, location, different markets. If I'm in Dallas, should I invest also in San Antonio or Houston? What do those markets look like? If I only invest here, what is my opportunity cost? Opportunity cost within real estate in terms of the investment vehicle, single family versus multifamily. I mentioned very briefly that we have forced appreciation in apartments. That's the lever that we pull to really push up the value creation and create wealth. So if I decide to go in multifamily, maybe I'm sitting on a value play deal, waiting for the investor that syndicated or is leading the deal to create that value. Maybe there's no cash flow. So maybe my opportunity cost is that immediate cash flow that I get out of that single family house. Mentor is going to help you figure out which of those is what you need right now. Which is the best place to start? Opportunity cost within real estate could also be a specific building. What if I buy that house compared to the one, two houses down on the same street? Slightly different floor plan. That one has no garage. It's been converted. That one has a two-car garage. What is my opportunity cost in terms of rent, renovation needed, and so on, cost into the deal? And the list goes on. And that's something that Lifestyles Unlimited will absolutely help you understand. That's what David Fisher is doing right now on his birthday. Again, happy birthday, as he teaches through the two-day seminar that is part of our financial freedom program. And my last thought on opportunity cost to you. What is the opportunity cost of not putting a few hours of your time some evening for our free workshop? Doesn't cost you anything. It's an hour and a half. How do you calculate the missed opportunities that I just described to you if you don't at least take a look and find out about real estate investing? Do that now. Go check out freeworkshoplivestream.com to find out when we have those coming up and how and to register. Again, freeworkshoplivestream.com. Opportunity cost. I know your time is valuable. I do thank you for listening today. My name is Andy Webb. You've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.